Now, what I want to do is review a little bit of what we did yesterday on the bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. And we have a statement here of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Let's see if we can find it. It should be, let's see, how many lines up from the bottom?
On Zayin Amud Beis, or
I'm sorry, I meant to say Zayin Amud Aleph. If I said, because I wanted to just backtrack.
Amud Aleph, I'm trying to fuck this.
Yeah, if you have Zayin Amud Aleph, we'll look for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Give me just a second here.
See it right here, towards the end, about three lines from the end.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Now, Rav Yosef quotes the beginning of a pasuk, and he derives from the beginning of the pasuk that Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh. Let's see the beginning of the pasuk. So we'll go back to Rav Yosef for just a second, so we could appreciate the question that we want to ask on Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Yosef says the following: Vayomim v'yamei ha-purim ha-ele lo yavru mitoch ha-yehudim. Now the very end of that pasuk, the very next four words, are v'zichram lo yosef mizaram.
Mm-hmm. That's
what. So Rav Yosef is saying that how could the Megillah write that lo yavru mitoch ha-yehudim? That as if to say, you know, Purim will last forever and ever. You'd have to know Baruch HaKodesh that's going to happen. Now comes along Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and he says, no, mehocha, as if to say, he's not satisfied with Rav Yosef's drasha, and he insists that we read the end of the pasuk, v'zichram lo yosef mizaram. So what's the advantage of v'lo yosef mizaram, v'zichram lo yosef mizaram, over and maybe Bechlal, you know, what exactly is the pasuk adding here? So if you take a look at Tosfos at the very end of the Amud, he says the Bereisha Dekra lo chazinon ela hayehudim shebaoso hadar.
Good morning.
The advantage of Lo Yosef Mizaram is that it foretells the far distant future for all generations. Whereas the beginning of the Pasuk is only relates to the immediate future. Right? Hayehudim Shebos Hador. Meaning, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's argument here is, well, from Lo Yavru Misoch HaYehudim, it means those who experience the miracle, that generation of the miracle, they will accept Yemei HaPurim. That's not a big deal. You don't need Ruach HaKodesh to predict. I'm just going back to what we did on Zayin Amud Aleph. We're on the last line. We don't have to be inspired with the Holy Spirit in order to foresee that the members of this generation would indeed uphold Purim. So Tosfos implies that Rav Nachman wants to take us for the ultimate future down the line, many, many generations forever and ever, and that's what he gets from the pasuk Lo Yosef Mizaram. That's what Tosfos says. However, the Turi Evan asks the following question. He says, I don't understand, what's the difference between the far distant future and the near distant future? Even to predict that the Jews of that generation, I'm just throwing out a number, for the next 40 years will observe Purim. That itself requires Ruach HaKodesh. How would you know that? So the Tur Yevin adds another perspective here. And he says the following, that if we only had the beginning of this pasuk, we could have understood that this pasuk is not a havtocha, but a tzivui. It's not a promise predicting the future, but rather it's a mandate. And the way you read Lo Yavru Mitocha Yehudim is a call to the people of Israel that they should not ignore Purim, they should continuously observe Purim. That doesn't prove anything about the future. The addition of V'lo Yosef V'zichram Lo Yosef Mizaram is to add a Havtocha element to predict what's going to happen in the future. So there, according to the Tur Yevin, there are two parts of this pasuk. There's a tzivui part, that's the resha, and that's Yimei Purim Elu Lo Yavru Mitocha Yehudim, that's a command. And then there's the Sefer, which is a Havtocha. That indeed, down the line, Purim will still be alive and well, will have accepted Purim. Now the Chassam Sofer gives a different answer. Why is it that Rav Nachman was unhappy with Rav Yosef's drush from the Reish of the Pasuk? And he says the following. There are two parts to Purim. One is the Mishta V'Simcha, I call it the fun part of Purim. And then is the more strict, austere part of the Purim of Kriyas HaMegillah. The first part of the Pasuk predicts Yimei HaPurim as days of Mishta V'Simcha. They will be observed by the Jewish people. However, although one could anticipate that it's almost Karav Levadai, it's almost definite that we could predict that the Jewish people observe Purim as Yimei Mishta V'Simcha, we don't know whether the Megillah itself is written Beruach HaKodesh. The end of the Pasuk says, V'zichram lo Yosef Mizaram. The word Zichram, says the Chassam Sofer, is a code word for Kriyas HaMegillah. Right, we always speak about Asiyah and Zechira, the two aspects of Purim. The Zechira aspect of Purim is the Kriyas HaMegillah. And we can't know, based on prediction and human sociology, that we could predict that logically we know that the Kriyas HaMegillah will continue for all generations. For that, we need Ruach HaKodesh. And I suspect what he's saying is that it's easy to observe a day, and that's very beloved to the people, as Mishta V'Simcha, but then to add the Megillah aspect, that we need to know Baruch HaKodesh, that Lo Yosef Mizaram Li'olam. Then we go on to Tani Rav Yosef. Now in Tani Rav Yosef, we have the following, that Mishloach Manos requires two manos to one person. Matanas Levyonim requires one matana to one Evyon and another matana to another Evyon. So in truth, the Pri Chadash is not happy with this. He says if you read the Pasuk carefully, which this Bryce is interpreting, you'd get the impression that each one of the Avyonim should have to have two Matanos. It's not enough to give one Matana to one Avyon and another to another, but rather you'd have to give two Matanos to two Avyonim. In other words, the plural of the word Matanos is not just in general when you relate to two Avyonim, so therefore it's plural, it's two Matanos, but rather two Matanos to each of two Avyonim. And how does he prove this? He proves it based on a Gemara Masechta Yoma, on Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara wants to know, in the case of the what's called the Hagrola, the Gorolos on the Shnei HaSeirim, do you have to put one Gorol on each head of the two Seirim, or two Gorolos on each head? And the Gemara darshins the pasuk. It says, "V'nosan al shnei haseirim gorolos." And since it says the word gorolos in the plural, is yitain shnayim al zev v'shnayim al zev. So it says shnei seirim, which is clearly two goats, and then it says gorolos. So we interpret the word gorolos as referring that plural of gorolos, referring to each soyer. So you need two gorolos on the head of each soyer. The Gemara later on has a miut from a different pasuk to exclude that. And Levaisi, you need one goro. But reading the pasuk of Shnei Seirim Gorolos, the Gemara assumes that means on each one of the two Seirim, you need Gorolos. So why not interpret here, Matanos Levionim, the Torah says, that it means for each one of the Avionim, you need two Matanos. That's the kasha of the Pri-Chodesh. So he answers the following. It all depends on the sequence of the words. If the Torah had meant that you give two matanos to each one of the two avyonim, then it would have said la avyonim matanos. Like it says, se'irim gorolos. Meaning, first you present the object, and then you present the plural. If the object comes first, then the plural refers to that object. And if the object is in plural, then it means the plural that comes after the object relates to each one of the two that came before. That's called Se'irim, Shnei Se'irim, Gorolos. But if we would have said in the pasuk Gorolos al Shnei Se'irim, that would clearly mean I need two Gorolos because I have two Se'irim, and each Se'ir gets one Gorol. Here in the pasuk, it doesn't say La Evyonim Matanos. Had it said La Evyonim, to each one of these two Evyonim, give Matanos in plural. But rather Matanos La Evyonim, meaning there are two Evyonim, you're going to give each one a Matana, and therefore comes out to be plural, and it's going to be Matanos. So the bottom line is that you have to give one Matana to each of two Evyonim. Now, the Turiyevin says that there's another Shita Bechlal of Rabbi Yossi in the Yerushalmi on the Pasuk Ulibnei Aaron Tase Kutanos. And Rabbi Yossi says, how do you read the Pasuk Ulibnei Aaron, which is plural, Tase Kutanos in plural? It means that each one of the Bnei Aaron gets one Kutanos. And therefore, when it says here, when it says matanos la evyonim, it means to each one of the evyonim you give a matana. So just like ulibnei aron tasa kutanos, which means to each one of the bnei aron you make kutanos, giving one to each one. Here too, when it says matanos la evyonim, it means you should give two matanos, one to each of the evyonim. Now the Ran asks a very chutzpahdika question. I would never have asked this question. He wants to know, why is it that in Mishloach Manos, we require two manos to one person? In Matanos Levyonim, we only require one matana to each one of the two Evyonim. So again, the Ran is not bothered by the question why we're giving to two different Evyonim, whereas Mishloach Manos is only to one person. But let's isolate one of the Evyonim. How many matanos do I have to give to one Evyon? Only one. But in the case of Mishloach Manos, how many manos do I have to give to one Re'ehu?
Two.
Says the Ran that Mishloach Manos, Kevan Shehula Ashirim, you know, you're giving to someone who's not poor, right? Otherwise it's Matanos Evyonim, so what's unique and independent about Mishloach Manos is that you're giving to Ashirim. He says that one gift to an Ashir is not Choshev. Be'inon shtei matanos li'echad de'pachos mishtayim enon Choshev be'nehem aval evyonim dailahem b'matana achas. In other words, the Evyon is absolutely satisfied with receiving one matana, but the Ashir, as opposed to the Evyon, he's not going to be impressed by one gift. And later on we're going to see in the Gemara that in Mishloach Manos you really have to give something that's choshev. You don't give him cheap stuff. That's not going to accomplish the mitzvah. But the Marsha offers an alternative answer, which I think maybe is what we call in Yiddish punkfakert. Because he says the following. B'mishloach manos yesh losay shtey manos. Why? Kevan shemanos mashma. Afilu mona koldehu. The implication of the pasuk is I can give any mana. The Megillah doesn't give any, doesn't use any word that would indicate that there's a minimum value or shear to what the mana is. And therefore, what we want to do is we want to give two matanos, two manos. If you give two matanos, then what you're doing is you're taking a mana kol dehu, because again that's enough to fulfill this mitzvah, and you're doubling it. Once you double a mana kol dehu, then it gets a certain chashivus when the recipient gets two manos. But in the case of matanos levyonim, it's enough to give matana achas, not because the evyon is so desperate that he's satisfied with a matana, but because the word matana has a different meaning to it. Matana is something that has a nesina. And whenever you have a nesina in halacha, like in, I mean, he doesn't quote any examples, but let's say you have to give a nesina of kesef kedushin, then there's always going to be a shear of nesina, as opposed to a mana. A mana means even a koldehu. But a matana means a matana that has a certain shear. Now, in the footnote, the Ritva says that the shear, the minimum shear of matana, is the Shava Pruta. Now you and I might think, Shava Pruta, I don't know if I'd bend down on the floor to pick up a Pruta. I mean, if you had, like sometimes I have 10 agarot in my pocket, it's worth it to put it on anyway, just that I don't have to carry it, you know. That's how valuable it is. But back in the time of Chazal, a Shava Pruta was really worth something. It was considered chashivas. So therefore, if the Ani gets one matana, the Evyon, which means he gets a Shava Pruta, that's already Chashuv. But with regard to Manos, with Mana Koldehu, and the Mana Koldehu might even be worth less than a Pruta, says the Marashah, that's not Chashivus. Therefore you have to double the Mana and ask to be Shnei Manos. So it's interesting to compare and contrast the Ran to the Marashah, because the Ran is talking about the fact that there's a difference between an Asher who's receiving in the case of Manos, and the Evyon who's receiving the case of Matanos Evyon. And therefore we have to make the Asher very happy and give him something really, really Chashuv. The Marashah also agrees that we have to give something Chashuv, and therefore Shtei Matanos, Shnei Manos, right? But not because he's an Asher, but rather because a Mana is not Chashuv. Do you follow the difference? So again, what's the deal with one mana? According to the Ran, the deal with one mana is that vis-a-vis, relative to the Asher who's receiving the mana, one mana is like bupkis, that's nothing. You know, he's not impressed by one mana. According to Marashah, the reason why he, or the recipient, is not impressed by one mana is not because he's an Asher, but because it's a mana. And a mana is a kolduhu. So according to the Ran, the reason why in Matanos Evyon it's enough to give one Matana to the Evyon is because the Evyon is desperate. You know, he'll be happy with anything you give him. According to the Marashah, no. He's happy to receive a Matana, one Matana, because a Matana means an Asina, and an Asina means at least a Shear. According to the Ritva, it's a Shear of a Shava Pruta. The Marashah doesn't spell out exactly what the minimum Shear of Matanos Evyon is. And by the way, I know there are people who are very makpid on Matanos Evyon to give, you know, 26 shekel or whatever they give, the different minhagim about that. So the Marashah doesn't spell out exactly what is a nesina chashuva, but whatever it is, the word matana means a nesina chashuva. So it's nothing to do with the desperate nature of the evyon. The contrast here is not between the recipient, the re'ehu, who's an asher, as opposed to the evyon, who's an evyon, the way the Ran has it, but rather, according to the Marashah, it's a contrast between a mana and a matana. A mana is a koldu, and it lacks in chashivus unless you double it, whereas a matana is an asina chashuva. Okay. Now we want to ask a different question. Tani Rav Yosef. Osha, you weren't here when I my introduction to the today's shiur was that I want to go back to what we did yesterday. So we're on the bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, and we see Tani Rav Yosef two lines before the end of the Amud. So Rav Yosef says, "Umishloach manos ish l're'ehu, shtei manos l'ish echad. Matanos avyon, shtei matanos l'shnei b'nei adam." And Rashi points out, "Matanos avyon, shtei matanos l'shnei b'nei adam. Dai l'chol echad v'echad matana achas, etc." So there's a sefer here called the Beis Yitzchak. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's a Yitzchak Hanenspecht. I doubt it. But anyway, he says the Beis Yitzchak. He's bothered by the following. Rav Yosef assumes that you need two manos for Re'ehu in the case of Mishloach manos. That doesn't bother us because the Torah, the Megillah says manos, which means plural. L'Re'ehu is in the singular. That's fine. But what he doesn't understand is that Rav Yosef's brisa starts with one word and then changes its language in the sefer. In other words, in the same breath, take a look. It says, Shnei Manos Le'ish Echad. And if you would have been consistent, then you would have said, Umatonos Levyonim, Shnei Matonos L'Shnei Anoshim. But instead he calls it Bnei Adam. Is there any significance, ask the Beis Yitzchak, to the switch between Ish and Bnei Adam?
We said yesterday, but it was.
You want to give an answer? I mean, I was going to present to you the Beis Yitzchak's answer, which is fascinating.
We said yesterday the answer, at least an answer, because we said Ish is an Ashir. Or a significant individual.
Oh, excellent. A significant individual.
And B'nai Adam is anybody, you know, B'nai Adam, when you say it.
Right. So where did I get this from? I got it from the Beis Yitzchak. But I didn't remember to quote the Beis Yitzchak. Today I want to quote it inside because if we read his language, we can add a little bit of a nuance to what we said yesterday.
Okay.
So again, let's read his question. Madu alagabe mishloach manos nokat Rav Yosef shtei matos le'ish echad. Le'ish echad. Gabi Matonis of Yoninok at Shematas Lishne Bine Adam. Ubir Shemishloch Monos Anoshim Shochim Osan Likrovehem O Miuadehem, meaning whoever they choose, Asherhem Hashuvim Beinehem. Why do I send you Mishloch Monos? Because you have a certain Hashivas, or I want you to have a relationship with me because that relationship is important. If I want to embellish and enhance that relationship, it means a machshiv you because I want that relationship. That's called an ish. She'eno sholech l'chol echad el l'miyuad of krovav shem chashuvim b'yenov. Avo matonis levyonim kaimalon. See, this is what I was missing yesterday. And I don't know where this is coming from. I guess it's the sugya that's coming around the bend. Ein midagdikim b'mos purim. V'chol aposhe yodo nosnim lo. That even though during the course of the year I have a right to check out your credentials. Hey man, where's your letter of approbation from all the rabbis? But on Purim, whoever puts out his hand, kol aposhe yodo nosnim lo. Now the Beis Yitzchak adds something which I'm telling you, Rabosa, I fell off my seat when I saw this because I never heard of such a thing. Maybe you, gentlemen, you'll tell me that this is old hat for you, but for me it was very new. He says, Afilu la'aniye nochrim. Imagine a guy takes advantage of Purim and he comes around on Purim asking for, good morning, asking for matanos. He says, Nogim lases lehem tztaka. The word Nogim implies that it depends on the custom. In other words, so I don't know what the custom here in Yerushalayim is going to be, but in certain places of the world, which the Beis Yitzchak recognized, the minig was to give tzedakah to nachrim. And he suggests that maybe on Purim, dafka, there's an inyan of giving matanos l'nachrim bishum eva. In other words, that they, you know, they'll get jealous that we're giving out gifts like, you know, like it's going out of style, and we're giving it to Jews and we're excluding them. So therefore, to include this chiddush, that Matanos Levyonim could be fulfilled even if you give to a Nachri, Rav Yosef chooses to drop the word Ish and replace it with the word Bnei Adam. That even a guy is considered Bnei Adam, right? That's the humankind, mankind. And that means that Kol HaPoshe Yadu Nostim Lo, even if he doesn't have Hashivus, and even if he's a guy, if that's the minimum. Now, he says on the bottom, a footnote, he says, and I'm not sure who he's quoting, Ein adam yotzi yedei chovas matanos lavyonim b'nesina l'nachrim. So in other words, when the Beis Yitzchak is saying that the reason why Rav Yosef chooses the word B'nai Adam, that phrase to emphasize that matanos lavyonim is even to B'nai Adam, he doesn't mean to say that in so doing, by giving to the Nachri, you fulfill the mitzvah Mataras of Yon. What he meant to say is that Rav Yosef wanted to convey to us the message that Mishum Eva, we shouldn't exclude the Goy, but it doesn't mean that you technically fulfill the mitzvah. He says, Ubazem Meduyak Loshen Bnei Adam, Shenokat Rav Yosef. Why does he call him Bnei Adam? So he says that the word Adam implies the Jewish people. Do you remember this sugya? He doesn't tell you where the sugya is, but I think if I remember correctly, it's in Masechet Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, Atem Kuyum Adam, V'ein Umas Olam Kuyum Adam. So it's very interesting, because there seem to be two approaches as to why Rav Yosef is using the phrase Bnei Adam in Matan Sevyon. One is to say that it's anyone, even if he's not Chashuv, as opposed to Ish L'Re'ehu. Re'ehu means he's someone that you want to have a relationship with and enhance that relationship. But in the case of Avyonim, Kol Poshet Yadav Nosnim Lo. But is the phrase Bnei Adam coming to include Goyim or not? That seems to be an issue. The Beis Yitzchok says, even if he's a Goy. But now we have to analyze what he means. Does the Beis Yitzchok mean that even if he's a Goy, you fulfill the mitzvah of Matanas of Yonim? Or does he mean that it's politically correct and we'd be well advised to give out the gifts to the Avyonim? But really, in truth, Atem Kuyim Adam, V'ein Umas Olam Kuyim. So when it says Bnei Adam, it means that you can only fulfill the mitzvah by giving it to Avyonim. So I think we should accept a chumrah lekana lekana. If a guy puts out his hand, better give him something. You know, let's not get in trouble. But at the same time, you still have to give to two other Yisraelim.
Moshe used to, in his tzedakas, he used to also give to a guy his tzedakas, like, you know, hard to associate, whatever. Just it was not good to do that from
right,
people.
Right.
That it wasn't just so that it should be that he gave also to these other
right.
Positive, I mean, not
yeah.
The,
but this is an interesting question. Can you be yotze the mitzvah? And what does he mean by Bnei Adam? Okay. Now I have a ritva to share with you. We mentioned it earlier. And that is that the ritva holds that the minimum value for a matana, for avyonim, is a shava pruta. Less than a shava pruta, says the ritva, is not called a nesina. Avol gabi mishloach manos, kol echad tzarech lases lefi ashiruso. He says the following, that with regard to the standard of matanas avyonim, that's a standard that is universal, objective. But with regard to Mishloach Manos, it's subjective. And he says the following. This is a heavy language of the Ritva. I hesitate to share this with you because I can't believe that the Ritva really meant this, but I'll share it with you. The Ritva says, Ashir hanosein dover pashut, eni yotzei bekach yedei chovas. He says that the relativity theory of Mishloach Manos is critical, and it's an absolute requirement that you've got to give something that reflects. Now, I think he may be implying, we'll see what he says here in the note here, that when Rabbi Yehuda sends, which we're going to have in the next Gemara, to Rabbi Oshia, these gifts, right? He sends him an igla tulsa, remember we spoke about it, and a garba, an entire barrel of wine. That's because his Rebbe had ashirus, he was wealthy, and he would not have fulfilled his mitzvah shloch monos with anything less. He had to give a matanach shuva that would be relative to his financial standing. And therefore, the Torah, or the Tanakh, shall we say, deliberately leaves out the word nesina with regard to monos, and use the word monos, because whereas matanos nesina is objective, monos is relative to the person and who's giving and his financial status. But again, the language of the Ritva, that if he sends a dover pashut and he's an asher, eina yotzi dechovaso, that's appellate to me. I'm going to suggest the following. I'm going out on a limb here, and, you know, dok v'tishkach, as we say, you know, forget what I say. But I think what the Ritvan means is that if your matanas if your mishloach manas will not achieve the goal of reyus, right? It says reyeru of increasing and intensifying the friendship, then you miss the mitzvah. Then the mitzvah is meaningless. If a rich person sends something cheap to another person, that itself is almost an insult. In other words, again, if you would analyze Mishloach Manos from the perspective of universal halacha, there's no such thing in halacha that an usher is chayv to give more than an ani. I mean, there are cases in Kodshim where we let the ani get away with a carbon ola viyored, but that's a special dispensation on behalf of the Evyon. But it doesn't mean that because a person is wealthy, we impose upon him. Like, for example, if a man is wealthy, it doesn't mean he has to be Mekadish and Isha with Turkava Kesef. He gives a Shavak Pruta, and then she's Mekudeshes. But here in Mishloach Manos, where the Torah used the word Re'ehu, I think what the Ritva is saying is that the purpose and the goal of Re'ehu is to increase that Re'ehu and intense. If on the other hand it's going to have the opposite effect, then Lo Yotzi De Chovas.
By the fact Re'ehu, the assumption is Re'ehu, most times is somebody in the same socioeconomic status. Somebody that's a billionaire is not necessarily going to say that the waitress down the street is Reyegu. Do you know? It's going to be somebody that's going to. So
yes and no, because now, in the Jewish communities over time, you know, they were in, you know, they lived together, and so you'd have the wealthy living with them. So there probably was a fair amount of economic diversity within the ghetto. You know.
Yes. So, but I think that once you send matana, there is a relative amount of what you would send to somebody like that. You know, I mean, like for them, right. You know, for them, a $25 basket, Mishloach Manos is going to be great, but to the billionaire next door, that's going to be the insult.
Right, and that's the interesting thing, because is it relative to the person who's giving, or the person, it's kind of relative to both.
That's why Re'ehu, I think the assumption of Re'ehu is it's the same socioeconomic status.
But the poor person giving to the wealthy person won't expect as much. But the wealthy person giving to the wealthy person is going to have to give more.
Right.
And the wealthy person giving to the poor person still has to give more than the poor person giving to the poor. So it's on both sides there's the relativeness.
Now, I just want to add one point here. You remember, Eric, you weren't here a few minutes ago, I mentioned the Marsha. The Marsha was bothered by the fact that you in Mishloach Manos you have to give two manos, whereas Matanos Evyonim, one Matanos to each Evyon is enough. So the Marsha came up with a fantastical theory over here. He said that the word mana means a kol dehu, and anything that you give is already considered a mana. In order to add chashivus, you have to double it and give two manos. Whereas in the case of matana sevyonim, since there's an absolute shear, a required shear, a minimum shear, one matana is accepted by the recipient b'simcha gedola, because you already have a minimum shear. But in a mana, which is a kol dehu, there's no chashivus unless you double it. But it seems to me that the Marsha is not making any distinction here between an Ashir who's giving Mishloach Manos and a middle person, you know, who's in the socioeconomic middle strata of society. Adarab, I think the Marsha is saying that a mana is a mana koldu. To give it chashivus, you add another mana koldu. But at the end of the day, you're not sending him a very fancy basket. So, again, the Marsha is arguing here, I think, with the Ritva, which is fine. But the Ritva says no. It's not that there's a standard amount of Mishloach Manos. It all depends on the giver, how much he can give and what we expect him to give. The Marsha is operating, I think, with a different premise, and a mana means a mana koldu. And he doesn't make any distinction between how wealthy the giver is. Okay. Now we go on. Again, we were reviewing a little bit what we did yesterday.
I have a question before we... I mean, well, I guess it has to do with what we're about to start. With the... Because I don't know what the Ashkenaz halacha is, you know, the minhag is, but the Sephardim, you know, or at least what I was taught is we very careful, you know, you always have to, the Shalach Mano, you always make sure somebody else gives it.
Oh, a shliach. That's going to be the next Gemara about a shliach.
Yeah, so that's I wanted to ask it in before we start, to have the question in mind, so this way you... you know,
right, thanks. Because it says mishloach, and the Gemara is going to assume that you have to send it through a shliach.
Okay. So I don't know if that's the halacha or if it's...
It's brought down in halacha. But believe neither, at the end of this whole limud, I'd love to go through the halachas of mishloach maris and also some of the halachas in general that we've covered. In any event, the next Gemara, which turns the page, so to speak, from Zainam and after Zainam and Beis, is about the great gift, the incredible gift that Rabbi Yehuda sends to Rav Hoshaya. And if you turn to Dav Zainam and Beis, he says, Kiyamta Bonu Rabbeinu Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. Okay. Right?
Umatanos Levyonim.
Oh, you have Umatanos Levyonim. It's interesting. I have Umatanos Levyonim here with a bracket, and he says in the bottom that Rashi doesn't have that girsa.
Right.
So that's what I wanted to discuss with you today. Why Rashi says, Hachigar Sinon Kiyamta Banu Rabbeinu Mishloach Monos, and he drops Umatanos Levyonim. Okay. So he says the following. According to Rashi's Girsa, the response of Rav Oshia is a little bit stale, so to speak. What's he saying? Kiyamta banu Rabbeinu Mishloach Manus Ish L'Re'ehu. I mean, he sent him two beautiful matanas. Like, what kind of response is that? There's no chiddush over here. He says, Areze Poshu, if you have Rashi's Girsa, Shekir Bekaches Mishloach Monos. Ubira Pri Chodosh, I think we mentioned this yesterday, Shrav Oshis Kaven Lechadesh, Tiefshel Kai Mishloach Monos Gam Kishemona Achasi Mashke, Lufisha Shtia Bechlal Achilo. Do you remember this? Okay, good. Ulam, this I didn't know yesterday, but Ritva, Goris Kach. And again, I'm not going to go through the whole long girsa of the Ritva, but he says that the Ritva comes up with another chidush over here. Hainu, kishesholach Rabbi Yehuda Anasi b'pam rishona his kavin Rav Oshia lomar lo shemishloach zeh nechshav bi'einav kimatonis levyonim. Okay, so let's go through. I think we'll have to go through the gears of the Ritva. I was hoping to
this,
sort of short.
Here, this says that's what was said in the Yerushalmi.
Excellent. So the Ritva apparently had the same gears as the Yerushalmi, and there's an Indian here, Matanis Levyonin. So I'm going to try to go through the gears of the Ritva. It says the following. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Shadar Leil Rav Oshia, Itma de Igla Til, Savagarba de Chamra, Sholach Leil, Kiyamta Bodu Rabbeinu Matonis Levyonim. Wow, it's a whole different girsa. In other words, surely the Ritva had the words of Matonis Levyonim in his text, but that's not the punchline here. What's really radical here is that there were two gifts, or I should say two sets of gifts that were sent by Rebbe to Rav Oshia. The first set of gift was received as Matanis Levyonim. Let's go on. This is the Ritva's Girsa and Agamara. Hadar Sholach Le Igla Tilsa Utlas Garbi Charmoy. Now he sends him, again, the same kind of meat, but he ups the ante on the barrels of wine. And instead of sending him one barrel of wine, he sends him three barrels of wine. This is on the second round. Sholach Leil. And now the response that Rav Oshia sends back to Rebbe is, Kiyamta Banu Rabbeinu Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. So are you with me on this? So according to the Ritva, he sent him two different sets of gifts. He actually enhanced the second gift. The first gift was received as Matanos Levyonim. The second is Mishloach Manos. So the Ritva explains the Girsa. that he has. He says, "V'hainu k'sheshalach Rav Yehuda Nasiyah b'pam rishona," when the first set was given, was sent. Then Rav Oshia's response was, "Is kavi Rav Oshia lomalo shemishlo zeh nechshav v'einav kematonis levyonim v'lo kemishloach manos?" And why? This all has to do with the Ritva. Again, the Ritva holds that mishloach manos is relative to the person who's giving it. If he's a wealthy guy,
the person receiving it, this guy.
No. Listen carefully. What Rav Oshia is saying to Rebbe, you could have given me a lot more. By the way, Rebbe, the Gemara says, was one of the richest people in the world. But so wait. Let's just see if I can get it for a second. Otherwise, if you disturb me, I'm not going to get to.
Okay.
I'm going to lose my whole train of thought. So again, why did Rav Oshia say on the first round that it's Matoras of Yonim? Because says the Ritva, couldn't have been Mishloach Manos. Why not? Because Adam Asher Kerebi, Kerebi Yehuda Nasiyah, Olav Lishloach Matonos Yoser Chashuvos. Again, you and I would have said, wow, he sent him the thigh of a third calf, right? Third born calf. And he sent him a barrel of wine. Like, that's enormous. You know, it's probably worth 10,000 shekels. I don't know what it's worth. But no, Rav Oshia sent back a message. You know what? Thanks. Good. He gave Matonos Levyonim. That's not for you, Rebbe, that's not Mishloach Manos. So what happens now? Rebbe sends him another gift. Oh, I made a mistake. Not only according to the Tfar did he send him three barrels of wine as opposed to one barrel of wine. I made a mistake. It's more than that. On the first round, he sent him Itma the Igla. Correct? Do we have the word Itma in our Gemara?
Yeah.
Oh, Itma is a thigh. On the second round, according to the Girsa of the Marsha, of the Ritva, he sent him Igla Tlisa. Igla meaning the entire calf. So in other words, instead of just sending him a thigh, he sent him the entire calf. And he sent him three barrels of wine as opposed to one barrel. Shalach le Rav Oshia ka'es ki'amta banu mitzis v'shalach manos. Shemishloach hashem kazeh royli asher kamoko. Go ahead. Now I got it. I'm sorry. Okay. I just had to get to the mathematics.
So Ritva is saying that this is about Rebbe status.
Correct. Relativity of Rebbe as a recipient. Yeah.
I'm just using. I don't have the sword, but this is this discussion is citing the Yerushalmi, and it's saying that the Chaya Adam says that this teaches that it also has to, this is about the Reb Oshia and his status, that he was too important, that he given this first thing wasn't enough for, because he was more important, and therefore
But he doesn't say it was my status. Son of Yonah, does he?
Oh, he does, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So wait a minute. So Reb Oshia was more important than
he said the first one, this is like, you know, you're giving, this is the, now you're satisfied my status of Yonah, but when he sent the second one, they said, now you've done.
So wait a minute. At what point was he disappointed? And he said
the first one with the thigh and the bottle of wine.
He was disappointed because
it didn't befit his status. This is according to the Chayyada.
Oh, and therefore it wasn't Mishloach Manos.
Right.
Okay. So let's.
In other words, it wasn't
befitting to the giver because the giver was such an usher like Rebbe. He's saying the Yerushalmi that Rav Oshia felt that limited gift, which seems to be very present, but that gift relative to me, to Rav Oshia as a recipient, that can't be Mishloach Manos. You know, I can't accept that as Mishloach Manos. Uh-huh.
But I think you have
that,
to
that
say,
throws another element into
the
equation.
But you have to say it's because it's coming from it,
right. Well, that's true.
From Rav Yehuda.
Because
if one of his Talmidim said them that, he would never have said that that's Matanus Avion. It's because of who, I think that's both ways, you have to look at both elements.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
but again, the Ritva I think is a lot simpler than the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is a little bit more complicated. The Ritva is saying in his Girsa that
he's saying that's his
that Girsa, for you Rebbe, you know, yeah. For you Rebbe, that's not Mishloach Manos.
That's
a whole other element to
this. But so in the Rishalmi apparently it's Rabbi Yudan Nesia.
Is what?
Rabbi Yudan Nesia. Yeah, we also have Rabbi
Yudan.
Oh, he doesn't have Rabbi Yehudan?
No,
he's Rabbi?
Rabbi Yudan.
Oh, Yudan. Yudan is in the Rishalmi the same as Yehudan in the Bible.
Okay, all right, I didn't know. Okay, Yudan Nesia, and then, okay. But yeah, but this is, I don't know, this is the, I think it's the same Girsa as what the Ritva has, but it's the Chai Adam is taking a different take. And I think, I think you're right, it's, it clearly is you have to look at it from both perspectives. But I mean, I guess the idea is you're creating fellowship between the two. It's not one to the other. It's really increasing the relationship.
Right. Okay, we mentioned again the Marsha before. Let's not forget the Marsha. The Marsha holds that mana means mashahu, and you have to give two manos in order to jack it up to give it chashivas. The Lashon Matan, on the other hand, with regard to Evyonim, indicates that there has to be a minimum shear, and therefore it's enough to give one matana which has a shear for each one of the Anin. Says the Marsha, Rabbi Yehuda Sholach Shnei Monos Gidolos Shem Yoser Gidolo Mishir Mona Unesina V'Sholach Lo Rav Oshia Sheb Mishloach Monos Kazeh Lo Rak Sheyotze Yidei Chobos Mishloach Monos El Gam Yotze Yidei Chobos Matanos Levyonim Shehem Rav Oshio B'nei Beso. Wow, this is interesting. The Marsha has two chidushim here. Let me mention the first chidush in the Marsha. The Marsha says that since a mana means a mana koldahu, then by virtue of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda gave such large manos, included in those manos is another mitzvah of matanos levyonim. Now again, it gets complicated here when we get to the second chiddush of the Marsha, because if you only have the first chiddush of the Marsha, you have a problem here, because the Marsha again is trying to justify the girsa that has both mishloach manos and matanos levyonim, not in two different nesinos that he doesn't have. That's the Ritva, but he has the girsa that we might have in brackets here, mishloach manos umatanos levyonim. Correct? Rashi doesn't have that girsa. The Marsha had that girsa. And you can kill two birds with one stone. You can be mekayim both mitzvahs. That's the Marsha's chiddush here. With one gift. Again, we'll see that it's two gifts, because in order to be mekayim, matanos avyonim, it has to go to two avyonim. But wait, let's go slowly. So again, let's get the easy part of the Marsha. The Marsha is saying, unbelievable chiddush, that since all you need for a mana is a mana koldahu. That's the Marsha's basic fundamental tenet of the faith here with regard to mishloach manos. Therefore, by sending a mana gedola, you can now calculate, right, the increment between a mana koldahu and the mana gedola. That differential is going to be matanos levyon. That's chiddush number one, that you can take this mana and divide it up, so to speak, into its parts. Then the Marsha goes on and says another chiddush. But wait a second. This was sent to Rav Oshia. How could that be a fulfillment of Matanos Levyonim? You need two Evyonim. Here's the second chiddush of Rav Oshia. And he says it was sent to Rav Oshia Ubnei Beso. Okay, now listen carefully. Here's a big chiddush. Afal gav dehem av uben. If you send two gifts to a father and a son, and they're all samach al shulchan aviv, adayin echshavim kishnei avyonim. Wow, this is a big chiddush of the Marsha. The two chiddushim of the Marsha that are massive, and it's all based on his gears of umatanos avyonim. Number one, that with mishloach manos, if it's beyond the mashahu, again, he doesn't give you the breakdown in terms of the value, but whatever it is, it's beyond the mashahu, and it's being received by an avyon, so you can get both mitzvahs with one. Again, so far we only have one Evyon, so let's say 50% of the second mitzvah. So you have 100% of the first mitzvah means Mishloach Manos, because Mishloach Manos is to one Reyehu, and he was very and he was over the top as far as Mishloach Manos is concerned, because he only had to give two Manos of Koldahu, and he gave two Manos Gedolos. So as far as Mishloach Manos, for sure he fulfilled the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. But since the recipient is an Evyon, comes along the Marsha, and he says that in a situation where he gave above and beyond, that above and beyond becomes Matanos Levyonim. Again, in one giving, Rabbi Olson, give me a second just to finish. It's very difficult for me until I, you know, you guys can take it over and I'll let you go on for hours. But first, let me just get it out of my head. So comes along the Marsha and he says that with one gift, you can be makayim both the mitzvah mishloach manos and the mitzvah matanos levyonim if the recipient is an evyon, and if you sent him two manos. Oh. Now the Marsha wants to go even a step further with another chiddush. And he wants to say, not only was he makayim half of Matanis Levyonim, but he was makayim both the full-fledged mitzvah Matanis Levyonim. Why? Because there are two Evyonim. Where are the two Evyonim? So here's the Marsha's creative thinking, because I don't see it in the Gemara, but he says, in order to justify the gifts of Matanis La Evyonim, it must be that there are two Evyonim. Where are the two Evyonim? There's only Rav Oshia. So he says that it was Rav Oshia Ubnei Beso. It wasn't sent to Rav Oshia as an independent individual, but it was sent to Rav Oshia for his entire family. Now the Rasha pulls a rabbit out of his head. He says, what happens if, you know, in Hanukkah we have a luck of bias, you know, of the Bnei bias, that you have one adlaka together, right? We're almost holding my Hanukkah, right? But he's saying, the Rasha, that even though in Hanukkah maybe all the Bnei Bayis are integrated to one entity, but in Matanos Levyonim you can divide up the Bnei Bayis into two entities, and if you give something that's for both the father and the son, you become Matanos Levyonim. Okay, now I'll show the floor to you. You go on for hours. I just had to work it out.
I've got a few things.
You guys are getting used to the way my brain works. I mean, it's a question.
To support the Masha is that we know that there's a certain amount that a person is considered. We know when you are considered ani. So if you just gave him mana, you would never take him out of that status of ani. If you gave him the kodu, but since he gave something much more than that, so that took him out of the status of being an ani. An ani. So you once you took him out of the status of the ani, now the rest of that matana goes to Bishalach
Manos. That's not the Marsha. You can say your own Torah. The Marsha is saying that Mikavon Shesholach Manos Gedola.
Right, that's exactly.
Wait a minute. Shem Gedola Mishir Mana. That's why he says it could be a kiyum of my Torah.
I'm giving a reasoning as to why. To why that.
He is giving you the reason why. He's saying because as far as Mishloach Manos, all he had to give, that's the whole point of the Marsha. Okay. He only had to give him on a kolder.
I would have finished, but then I've got to comment on that because that's in conflict with what we were just learning.
That's against the mitzvah. Again, you missed the first part of the shiur. The first part of the shiurik was the following, that there's a fundamental machlokus between the ritva and the marsha.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
The ritva holds that matanis, that mishloach manos is relative to the giver.
Giver, right.
And, you know, I added, I don't know if the ritva would have liked this, but the ritva says if he didn't give relative to his wealth, then you're not yotzei the mitzvah. I tried to add because maybe it'll undermine the whole purpose of what you call brotherhood, you know, to increase brotherhood. Wait a minute. Comes along the marsha and he says, punkfaker. The only reason why the Torah and the only goal or the only method by which the halacha will achieve its goal of chashivus here is because a mana is a kolduhu, and since a mana is a kolduhu as opposed to a matana levyonim which requires a shear, therefore says the Marsha, how do we get from a kolduhu to any sort of chashivus? And that's where the Torah says, give 2 months.
You could still reconcile, though. The Ritva would still be fine with this, because you could say, it's more than a Sevaputa, so therefore the Sevaputa, the minimum value...
The Ritva says that for Mishloach Manos, he can't be Yotze with a Sevaputa, because you're a rich guy.
Right, I know, but in other words, because this is more than a Sevaputa, then he's filling Matanos Levyonim with the Sevaputa, and then everything above that is the
again, that's a nice pshat, and you guys are okay, but that's not the Marsha's pshat. The whole point of the Marsha is that although this was sent as Mishloach Manos, because Mishloach Manos requires nothing more than a kolduhu, therefore the increment is considered Matanos Levyonim.
The Ritva would just reverse the increments. He'd start with the Matanos Levyonim instead of saying the mana is the minimal amount and the Matanos Levyonim is above that, which is what the Marsha is saying. He's saying the mana is the Sevaputa value, and everything above that that's worth more than that is the Matanos Levyonim. You could just reverse the increments and you still would satisfy both.
So wait, according to the Ritva, you start with Matanos Levyonim? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the Sevaputa is the Matanos Levyonim and everything above that.
I think that's what the Ritva is saying. I can read the Ritva again.
Because he's saying that you need to give. But Tomas Abyonim is a Shevpruta. It's a minimum value. Right. But he's saying that
the whole thrust of the Mitzvah is that when Rav Moshe received the first gift, that's what the Mitzvah is saying. He's saying, I'm going to send it back. Return to sender.
But
this
he says
is not the Shlof Moshe.
But he says the Tomas Abyonim.
Oh, but it could be.
Right. In other words,
it
was right. But when he sent back the bigger
more
one,
chashev,
more chashev one, then in other words,
that became a chashev one.
Right, but it also could. It doesn't mean that it's not kiyum matanos of yonim as well, because you still have the shevaput in there.
Well, no. Again, the second gift was matanos of yonim. You see,
the second gift was shalach manos.
Well, no, I'll read it again to you. He says ubish pamashnia. Meaning, you thought you were Makayim Mitzvah Shalach Manos in the first round, and I gave you enough. Says Rav Moshe, no, I'll accept this Matanos of Yonah, but it's not on your level relative to you, it's not Mishloach Manos. So Mimela, Rebbe had to send him another gift, which he upped the ante, and then it was Mishloach Manos.
Yes. No. I guess I'm
but again,
not
I think
that,
what I'm trying to point out is both the Ritva and
they do
the
have a different...
and both the Ritva and the Marsha are trying to understand how this gift of Mishloach Manos all of a sudden became Matanos of Yonim.
Right. In
that, so the Mitzvah says that it was, you know, returned to sender, that the recipient said, I don't want this. This is not for you. This is not Mishloach Manos. The Marsha, the other hand, is saying that although it was sent as Mishloach Manos, because it was so massive and so valuable, therefore could also at the same time achieve Matanos of Yonim. That's what I see here. What time is it? I just want to make sure. Let's see if we can hop around one little more piece. This is where we were holding yesterday. You remember that Rava sent Mishloach Manos through a shliach to Mori Bar-Mar. And who is the shliach? It was Abaye. Okay? Now, this was a more modest kind of Mishloach Manos than what we saw in Rebbe. He sent him a bag full of dates and a cup full of cereal, right? They used to take grains and they would bake it in an oven and they would become softer and sweeter and so forth and so on. Amalei Abaye, Abaye turns to Rava, this is before he delivers the gift, he says, Hashta Omar Mori, when I bring this gift to Mori, he's going to say the following. Ichakla Malko Lehevi, which literally translates if he's a farmer, like a villager, and then he becomes appointed as the king, right? Every farmer's dream, right? Dikula Mitzavare Lo Nochis. Now, the farmers, when they would carry, let's say, produce, they would carry it on their tzavar, on their back or on the neck. Mm-hmm. And they put it into a dekel. A dekel was a basket that was woven from palm trees, right? It was a pretty cheap kind of idol. And that's the way they would put it in, they would put the produce into this dekel, they would carry it on their necks, and that's what they could afford, so to speak. But after he becomes appointed as a melech, then lechor you would expect that he would change his behavior pattern, and all of a sudden he would up the ante. You know, now he has all the wealth and all the treasuries of the king. But nevertheless, dikula mitzavare lo nachas, that dekel, that little cheap sal, I don't know how you say sal, a basket, I guess, he doesn't take down from his shoulders. He continues in his ways. He got stuck in his ways as a pauper, and now he's the king of the whole province, and yet he still continues his ways. What's the mashal here? What's the nimshal? That Rabbah was a plain citizen until he was appointed the melech. What do you mean by the melech? He was called the Rosh Galusa, the Rosh of the area of Babel called Pumpedisa. And Abai is saying to Rabbah, now you're the head of the whole, you know, you're like the exilarch, you know, you're the head guy. Why are you sending the same cheap stuff, a couple of dates in a basket with some cereal? You know, come on, you know, it seems that, you know, the poor person continues in his ways. Then Abai delivers this gift, this Mishloach Manos,
which implies that it was satisfied the mitzvah.
Oh, let's think. It seems like Abaye, in a sense, is critiquing Rabbah.
But he still sent it.
I don't know. You know, that's what we have to figure out. And it says, Hodo Sholach Le'iu. Just 1 second. So now what happens is that when Mori Bar Mar receives this so-called second-rate, inexpensive Mishloach Monos from Rabbah, he sends him back. Again, it's interesting that Abaye is not mentioned here, so I don't know if he sent it to him directly or he sent it through a different Shliach and he didn't use Abaye's second time. Keep in mind, Abaye was a Talmud of Rabbah. So for Rabbah to appoint Abaye as a Shliach makes sense. But Abaye was not a Talmud of Mori Bar Mar, so it might have been insulting for Mori Bar Mar to send Mishloach back in return with Abaye, because he wasn't his Talmud. But anyway, what did he send it back to him? He sent it back to him Milat Taska de Zangeba. Zangeba is a kind of a spice. And a Taska is a bag or a sack. So he sent him a sack of spice. And what else did he send him? Umole kasa de pilpul aricha. And he sent him a cup full of pilpul, of long pieces of again, a kind of a spice.
Pepper.
Okay, maybe it means peppers. I don't know, the word pilpul can mean two different things. But in any event, Omar Abaye says the following. Hashta Omar Mar. Now when Rabbah will see what he received in return, he's going to declare, Ana shadri lechulia, iu shadri lechurfa. He's sort of like insulting him. I at least sent him something that's sweet. You know, dates are sweet, and the cereal that was roasted was sweet. But he sends to me something that's sharp. Dvarim harifin. So I looked in the footnote here. He says, Mashmashim in a royal lishloch dvarim mesukim. You know, you should send someone, if you want to generate friendship, dvarim mesukim, things that are sweet, below dvarim harifin. Umari sheshalach dvarim harifim hu kidei lahoros labaye sheyotzim yedei chova. So again, this is going to be a problem for the Ritva. Sheyotzim yedei chova afilu bedvarim she'enam ru'uyim, even something that's not roy. Okay, so you know what I'm thinking to myself? Maybe it's getting late and I'm pressured. I have a lot to tell you about this interchange here between Rabbah, Abaye and Mori Bar Mar. So Molineda, like we'll pick that up tomorrow.
Seems like Abaye
there's a lot of material on this, by the way. It's one little story.
But it does look like Abaye was the Shliach back as well, because he's the one again saying, he's commenting on it.
Well, it could be he was the Shliach, but many Mepharshim say that those words that he was the Shliach were left out. You know, he definitely was commenting because he was with Rabbah the whole time.
Yes, right. And